Just say that name with me. Say Jesus. Say it again.
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
There's just something about that name in there. I know sometimes I'll be thinking about things and riding down the road, and all of a sudden I'll just say, Jesus. That name just has a way of calming the situation, doesn't it? Jesus. Well, today is the day that we celebrate one of God's great gifts to the world, mothers. I want you to listen to a few very short stories, and I do mean short, about what children gave to mom for Mother's Day. And it's amazing, some of these stories have the name Johnny or Mary or Susie. But anyway, here's an 8-year-old girl named Mary. She wrote a note to her mom for Mother's Day, and it read, Dear Mom, here's a box of candy I bought for you for Mother's Day. It's very good candy, I know, because I've already had 3 pieces. Or how about this one? An 8-year-old boy, and he wrote this note to his mom. Dear Mom, here's 2 aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day. Kind of like the gift that keeps on giving, right? At least for 3 or 4 hours. Or how about this one? One from a 6-year-old boy named Johnny and his sister named Susie. The sister presented their mom with a Mother's Day present. It was a small house plant. Scott, you'll enjoy this one. It wasn't the finest looking plant, but they bought it with their own money, and mom was thrilled, and she hugged and kissed the children and told them how she loved them and how grateful she was for the gift. And Johnny said, Mom, there was other flowers that we wanted to buy for you, but we just didn't have the money. And the sister said, yeah, there was a real nice bunch of flowers in the flower shop that we were going to get for you. Johnny said, I know, Mom, and we really wanted to get this particular bunch of flowers for you. And the mom said, Johnny, it's okay. Susie, it's okay. He said, but Mom, he said, it had a pink ribbon on it, and it said, rest in peace, and we know how much you always want peace and quiet around the house. Here's one more. One summer evening, during a heavy thunderstorm, kind of like what we had last night around here, you know, the mom was tucking the little boy into bed, and she turned off the light and was going out the room, and the little boy said, Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? And she said, no, son, I have to sleep with Daddy. He said, big sissy. Mother's Day 2019. Here are a few myths about mother. Listen to these. Somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody doesn't know that a child is carried in its mother's heart forever. Somebody says it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody says once you've had a baby, you don't know what normal is. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Someone said you've never ridden in a car with a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mom. The other person said you've never helped a fourth grader with their math. Somebody said a mom can find all the answers to a child rearing questions in books. Somebody said you've never seen a child with stuffed beans up their nose. I don't know that Dr. Spock's got a chapter with that, you know. Someone said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Someone said you've never watched that baby get on the bus for the first day going to kindergarten. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Someone says, no, you've either got a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law to add to the worries. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. And finally, somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody's never been a mom, huh? My mother died several years ago. In fact, 9 years ago. And let me just insert this as a matter of information here for you folks here today. Lakeview offers a very worthwhile small group session called Grief Share every Monday evening at 6:30, twice a year. And this is a biblical-based class to help you deal with the loss of a loved one. The spring session is underway right now, just a couple more sessions of it. But the fall session will be starting in just a couple months. So if you know someone who is maybe having difficulty dealing with the loss of a loved one, or maybe that person is you, if you'll get in touch with me or with Phil Thomas, we'll be happy to get the information to you so you can get involved in Grief Share, which is a very, very worthwhile study group, okay? Ever wish you could get your mother's opinion again? I think this is a fairly accurate assessment of our thought process as we age when it comes to our moms. At 4 years old, follow this progression now. At 4 years old, the child says, "My mommy can do anything." At 8 years old, the child says, "My mama knows a lot. She knows a lot." At 12 years of age, the child says, "My mom doesn't really know everything, but she thinks she does." You're following the progression? At 14 years of age, the child says, "My mom doesn't really understand my situation." At 16, the child says, "Mom's just old-fashioned." At 18, the child says, "Mom's really not in touch with things." At 25 years of age, the child says, "Well, Mom might know about that." At 35 years of age, the child says, "Before we decide, let me talk with Mom." At 45 years of age, the child says, "I wonder what Mom would think about that." And then at 65 years of age, the child says, "I wish I could talk to my mom again." You see the progression? Amazing how time has a way of changing things, isn't it? You know, the Bible makes it clear that man is the head of God's creation. Well, if man is the head of God's creation, woman must be the crown. Because you see, God made woman. When he made woman, he finished his creation. Woman was the last creative act of God. You do know that, don't you? And now, you can make of that what you want to, but I believe it's vitally important. God didn't stop until he was finished, until he had completed what he set out to do. Now, I know that we have a lot of men here today and a men's ministry, and don't misunderstand me, that they do a great job. They really do. But listen, godly women are the backbone of the home and are tremendously important to a church family. They really are. Without godly women, their abilities, their willingness to serve, and their influence, we would be lacking in so many areas here in this church. As far as the home is concerned, can you even get a grip on what the home would look like without the mom's touch? Obviously, there's a number of women mentioned in the Bible who were mothers. Just a couple that stand out in my mind, of course, Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus. Timothy's mother, Eunice. Eunice's mother, Timothy's grandmother, Lois. There's also Jochebed. You may not be familiar with her, but she was the mother of Aaron and Miriam and Moses. And then there's Hannah. And that's who we're going to talk about for just a few moments this morning. If you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and before we read this passage of Scripture and gain some insights and principles from the life of Hannah as to how to be a godly mom, I want us to first understand some of the circumstances surrounding Hannah's life. There was a man named Elkanah who had two wives, and back then polygamy was a known thing, although the Bible doesn't agree with it, but it was just a known thing back in ancient days. Elkanah, who had two wives, Hannah was one of his wives, and Peninnah was the other wife. And Peninnah was unable, or Peninnah had children, but Hannah was unable to have children. And to be barren in that culture was believed to be a sign of personal sin or a cursed life. Peninnah gloated over the fact that Hannah could not have children. She couldn't conceive. She was incomplete. And every year, as it was a custom, the entire family would go from their city to Shiloh to worship and to sacrifice. So this particular year, the entire family makes the trip to Shiloh. Elkanah, along with Peninnah, with all her children, and Hannah, who had no children, made that trip. Well, finally, Hannah reaches her breaking point. I mean, she can no longer endure the ridicule from Peninnah any longer, so she went to the door of the church and fell face down and began to pray and to weep. And 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 20 picks up on that. So look with me at chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she, this is Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have neither drank wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do you consider your maidservant a wicked woman? For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramoth. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. The first characteristic of a godly mom as seen in the life of Hannah is one who believes in the power of prayer. Hannah was barren. She was unable to conceive, and Hannah realized that the only one who could help her was God. Now, David Jeremiah, he's the pastor of Shadow Mountain Community Church in California, he made this statement once. He said, most of the time people pray, but when they're really facing difficult times, people really pray. You see the difference between praying and really praying? The scripture indicates that Hannah had simply laid it all out before the Lord. I mean, she prayed. Hannah cried and she prayed to the Lord. In fact, her prayer was so intense, her prayer was with so much emotion, that the priest Eli, who was observing her from a distance, thought that she was drunk. Hannah's situation seemed hopeless, and out of her hopelessness and helplessness came her prayer. Now, this principle applies not only to moms here today, but to every one of us here today. We must never forget the power of prayer. Listen, no matter what age your child is, your child still needs your persistent prayers, Mom and Dad. You've seen my daughter here with us before. She's been here on a Wednesday night, and on Easter Sunday morning she was here. She just turned 44 years old, and I don't mind telling you, that's hard for her dad to accept, because she's still Daddy's little girl, you know. But I pray for her every single day, and many times, multiple times during the day. Sometimes she'll have a special prayer request, and she'll text me or call me and ask me to pray about that prayer request for her. Same thing with her mom. She'll do the same thing. And let me just mention this right here. If you have a prayer request that you'd like for me to join you in praying about, I'd be honored to do that. Ladies, if you have a prayer request you'd like my wife to join you in praying with, she'd be happy to do that. We count it a privilege and an honor to be able to pray with you and to join you in prayer, even if it's an unspoken prayer request. Matter of fact, right now I'm praying with several people about different situations going on in their life. But prayer is important. Persistently pray for your children. No matter what the situation is, it's never hopeless. It's never hopeless when you consider who God is and what God can do. All things are possible with God. Now, this being Mother's Day, as I mentioned, my mom is in heaven. But I learned a lot from her example about praying and praying for people. In fact, when she died, one of the keepsakes that I have at home is her little prayer notebook. And sometimes I'll get that little prayer notebook out, and I'll go through it, and I'll see the people that she had on her mind and prayer requests that people had given her that she had written down. And she faithfully prayed for those individuals. Now, Mom, she'd had two strokes, and she was basically confined to a walker, to a wheelchair, and she was limited in what she could do as far as service to the Lord, but she was a faithful prayer warrior. And then the third stroke that she had was a brainstem stroke, and that's what ultimately caused her death. But you know, actually, just seeing this prayer book brings back to mind that not only do I miss her, but I miss most of all her prayers for me. There's many times I'd love to just pick up the phone and call her and say, listen, I'm dealing with this, or I'm dealing with this. Would you pray for me? Because I knew that she would. And you know, prayer is important. And the most important characteristic of a mom is seen in the life of Hannah, in one who believes in the power of prayer. The second characteristic of a godly mom is that she is actively teaching her children about God. Actively teaching her children about God. After God gave Hannah a child, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 21 through 23 reveals that Hannah stayed with that child as he grew. Let me read that for you. 21, verse 21. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go. For she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. You know, in our society today, we often neglect to give honor and prestige to our moms, the prestige and honor that they deserve. You know, not all moms are working moms as far as a public job is concerned. I understand that. But some of them work outside the home, but they have busy lives in the home as well. And honestly, I don't understand how you're able to do all that you do, moms. I really don't. I'm amazed at all the things a mom can get done during the course of a day or a week. George Washington, the first president of the United States, said, I am what I am because of my mother. The great preacher G. Campbell Morgan had four sons, and they all became ministers of the gospel. And at a family reunion, a friend asked one of the sons which Morgan was the greatest preacher, and the son replied, my mother. My mother. You know, mom's a great preacher. They really are. But sometimes when they preach, the children don't really like the message, do they? They just don't like mom's sermons sometimes around the house. You know, growing up, referring back to my mom, she preached a lot of sermons to me and my brother. She taught me about encouraging others as she sent out birthday cards and anniversary cards and get well cards to various ones in her Sunday school class. And she showed me the example of generosity as she gladly did without sometimes at the dinner table in order that her two boys might have something that we wanted on the table. And she influenced me as she modeled spending time with Jesus each day and in daily Bible reading and in prayer times that I've already mentioned to you about. And you know what's interesting about that? I can say the very same thing about my wife, Debbie. She spends time every day in the Word and in prayer. She teaches piano lessons, but still she has time during the week to clean house. And she goes outside, and I don't know about you guys, but I despise pulling weeds. I really do. Just give me a spray bottle and Roundup, and I'm content. But Debbie, she'll go out and she'll go to those natural areas and those flower beds and she'll pull weeds. In fact, very seldom is she ever idle during the day while she's awake. And she's really a truly amazing wife and mom, and I thank God for her. We had time to spend with our daughter yesterday, and her and Misty just had a great time together. They're so much alike, really. But I praise God and thank God for her. The first characteristic of a godly mom is one who believes in the power of prayer. The second characteristic of a godly mom is that she actively teaches her children about God through the things that she does and her words and her actions. But the third characteristic, and I want to park here just a moment. The third characteristic of a mom is one that has the ability to let go. To let go. The ability to let go is hard. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? Look at verses 24 through 28 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli, and she said, "Oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord for this child. I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, also, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Hannah kept her word. She had prayed. She had sought God for a child. She even specifically prayed for a boy child, and she kept her word. She is now giving him back to the Lord. She vowed that if God would give her a son, that she would give him completely back to the Lord for work in the Lord's kingdom. And as hard as it was on Hannah, she kept her word. She let go of her son. Now, for some of you moms here today, letting go is an exciting time to see what God is going to do in the life of your child. And then on the other hand, it's extremely difficult sometimes as well to let go, whether it's just to let a child go off to college, or to let a child go even in marriage. But to let him go means that you're turning that child loose and trusting that child to God. I don't know how many of you have ever read any of the books by Barbara Johnson. She wrote some books years ago, and matter of fact, one of the books was, I seem like I remember, Stick a Geranium in Your Cranium. I think that sounds familiar. Yeah. But in her book, she writes about how she lost two sons to death. One son was killed in Vietnam. He was a Marine and was killed in Vietnam. And then 5 years after that son was killed in Vietnam, she had another son that died in a car accident. And then she had another son. And this son really grieved her. She found out that he was homosexual. And she was already dealing with the death of two sons, and it was like this son had died as well. She was, for months, I mean, she was depressed. And finally, she had come to the point where she said, "I'm just going to end my life. I can't handle this." And one day, as she was traveling down the road, of all things, she saw a billboard. And the scaffolding of that billboard, the image that she saw from the angle that she saw it, was in the shape of a cross. And she stopped her car, turned around, went back down the road, and came up beside that billboard and parked. And she got out of the car, and she walked to that billboard and knelt down. And this is what she said God told her to do. "You need to give me your son. That son that is causing you so much pain, so much agony, so much grief right now, you need to give him to me." And symbolically, she walked through that field to the base of that billboard with her hands cupped like this and knelt down at the base of that billboard and said, "God, I let go. I let go, God." And she said as she walked back to the car, she said it was just like a burden was relieved from her. A burden was lifted from her. 10 years later, well, let me fill in the blank right here. That son, when he found out that his mom knew what was going on in his life, left. She didn't know where he was. He left home. 10 years later, that son shows up at home. And he says, "Mom, I love you. I've surrendered my life to God. I've repented of my sin. I've turned from my way of lifestyle. And my life is right with God. I have a personal relationship with God, and I know you have been praying for me, Mom. She turned loose of her son. She gave him to God. He was in the best hands he could be in. And you know, today, here on this Mother's Day, I know you've got plans to go eat and do different things, and so I didn't want to keep you long, but I wanted to share with you this message. And you know, quite honestly, maybe that's where some of you are at today. Moms, dads, maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you don't know where that son or daughter is. Maybe you don't know where they're at physically. Or maybe you know where they're at physically, but maybe you don't know where they're at spiritually. Well, this altar right here is where you can come and let go. It's where you can turn your child over to God and say, God, I let go. They're in your hands. Maybe you're here today and you'd just like to come to this altar and thank God for your mom, for a godly mom who prayed for you and who taught you about Jesus and who did let go, but they never quit praying for you. Husbands, maybe you want to come and just thank God for your wife. Children, maybe you want to come and thank God for your moms. You know, I don't know what the situation may be in your life today, but this is a great opportunity today to come and simply let go. Whatever the burden is in your heart, you can let go of that burden and know that God will take care of it in his own way, in his own time. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me right now? Hannah was a great illustration for us this morning. There could have been other moms that we could have picked on from the Bible to share this morning, but Hannah's belief in prayer and how God answered that prayer, and Hannah raising Samuel and teaching him the ways of the Lord, and then taking him before the priest and surrendering him back to God, I think is a great illustration for this day and time. For moms, for dads. Whatever is going on in your life today, God desires you to let go of it and trust him. The Holy Spirit is speaking to many of you here this morning. I understand that. Don't allow pride to keep you from coming to this altar and bringing that burden to God. You say, well, it's good ways down there. Well, listen, you're going to walk out of this building after a while and go to the parking lot where your car or your truck is parked, and that's a whole lot further than this altar, I tell you that. So whatever your need is today, would you just bring it to God? Let go of it? Father, I thank you for my mom, for her example, for her love for you and for her love for me. I thank you for my wife. Thank you for the godly illustration she is to our daughter and in our household, Lord, and for all that she does for us. I thank you for the strength and the ability that you give her, Father, and the endurance. Thank you for her love for me. But God, I thank you for your love. Your love in sending your only son, Jesus Christ, for me. Father, I pray that you would just hover over this place this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. May we be obedient to your working, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing this invitational song, and would you come and be responsive to the Holy Spirit?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. I come just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God. I come just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you for being here today. I trust that the rest of the day will be a great day for you. If your mom's living, I pray that you'll take the opportunity to, if you can't be with her, at least to give her a call, okay? So I pray that you'll have a great afternoon. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in your house today, Lord, to hear your word taught during Sunday school. And then, Lord, to be able to sing your praises and to share your word here during this service today. Bless all moms who are here today with us, Father, I pray. Just pour out a special blessing upon them and their families as they gather together and as they communicate with one another today, Father. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen.